Welcome to the MEREFG Global Markets Podcast with Essan Coman, Head of M&A Research and Strategy. It's Friday, 5th June 2020, and we're publishing this podcast on MEREFGEMEA.com, Stitcher, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. So Essan, it's been touch and go this week in global oil markets, but it would appear that OPEC Plus has tentatively scheduled a meeting for the 6th of June. Can you contextualize where we stand and what it all signals for oil prices?
Thanks, Ona. So yes, as it stands, it would appear that we have a tentative agreement amongst OPEC Plus members to meet on the 6th of June. So initially, they planned to meet on the 9th and 10th of June, which was brought forward to the 4th. And now we have a third and what appears a final date on the 6th of June. So the issue that has caused this on and off from OPEC is the overproduction levels from certain producers, primarily Iraq and Nigeria, that have been shirking on their production agreement pledges, which the group's de facto leaders, that's Saudi Arabia and Russia, have pretty much lost patience with. So what's on the table? Well, at the deal, as it currently stands, the output cuts should start to be eased from the beginning of July, with the total volume of cuts being reduced from 9.7 million barrels per day to 7.7 million barrels per day. But proposals have been floated to extend this current 9.7 million barrels per day of cuts for a little bit longer, likely for an additional 1 month. Saudi Arabia and Russia appear to be in agreement to extend this for an additional 1 month. But the lack of compliance for some members has been causing some tension and risk, throwing everything into doubt, which essentially seems to be tentatively being resolved right now. So just to dig a little bit deeper here, so this key sticking point of compliance is something that has repeatedly come to resurface, even though an agreement seems to have been in the works. We would caution such action. And in essence, it is the fundamental to mention that OPEC, as an organization of sovereign nations, has non-binding agreements. So it will be very tricky to impose some official form of external monitoring of compliance of those countries. And if you're going to impose monitoring, then you have to have some form of penalty if you fail to comply, which would be even more challenging. Now, for OPEC Plus credit, their strategy has really been working. So all things considered, the historic OPEC Plus curbs that came to agreement on the 12th of April to revert back to a strategy of supporting prices over defending market share has pretty much, in our view, been nothing short of outstanding. All prices have roared back. Brent has been up nearly 25%, WTI a whopping nearly 80% since this agreement on the 12th of May. And in fact, to us, we are not convinced really that any output extension is even needed, given that the group's cuts have unquestionably worked in rebalancing oil markets fundamentals, with our model signaling that the market is fundamentally balanced, with a supply deficit set to follow in the second half of this year. And as such, a rollover of the 9.7 million barrels per day of production cuts would only essentially widen this supply deficit. So all told, whilst the proposed OPEC Plus meeting seems to be tentatively taking shape on the 6th of June, it would appear that some of these compliance reservations are now resolved, with an additional 1 month extension to be agreed. And as ever, of course, OPEC Plus appears to have modelled through with a face-saving agreement with constructive ambiguity, but upside action in our view will be capped given that markets seem to have all but priced in this additional extension of 1 month of the current level of cuts. And on oil prices in the weeks ahead, well, prices are indeed racing ahead of even our own bullish expectations. And whilst we have consistently remained resolutely long oil since early May, the price rebound since the current OPEC agreement, which was reached on the 12th of April, has been rather striking and ahead of our own above consensus expectations, which comes on the back of the sharp rebalancing story. So absent any surprise come when they meet on the 6th of June, we do expect limited further upside immediately from here, but we do continue to see firm upside risks to our NQ2 2020 Brent $32 per barrel and WTI $28 per barrel forecasts.
And then turning to the demand side of the oil equation, how are the latest trends faring up? Do you think we can expect any material knock-on effects from the recent US protests, as well as the broader US-China tensions impacting the demand for crude oil, Essan?
Yes or no? Well, so by and large, economic activity and with it, global oil demand continues to strengthen. Granted, yes, over the last week, violent protests have broken out in the US, while COVID fatalities continue to climb especially emerging markets such as the likes of Brazil, India, and Russia. Yet from a narrow economic standpoint, the pulse of economic data and news flow has pretty much by and large been better than expected. And most importantly, we have seen very little evidence of a widespread pickup in COVID-19 infection rates as developed markets have begun reopening. And the biggest threat to the reopening process has arguably been the coronavirus itself. Indeed, during March and April, we learned that the virus can be controlled with a sharp retrenchment in activity. However, we did not know how much of economic life could be brought on back online while keeping the public health risks manageable. And while not conclusive, our initial examination of findings so far looks quite encouraging. With throughout May, major developed economies have begun reopening and high-frequency proxies of mobility and activity have picked up significantly. Yet to date, there is little evidence of an increase in infection rates across the early opening European countries and US states. And it is indeed possible that this reflects lags between mobility and virus transmission, or that the reopening has not progressed far enough in regions with high community transmission, such as in the New York tri-state area. So we will need to keep a bit of a close eye here on the infection rates over the next coming weeks. Separately, according to our head of research for global markets, Derek Harpenny, the planned recovery fund in Europe should go a long way towards shoring up the region's rickety fiscal architecture. So a lot of positive news coming out of Europe. And meanwhile, yes, the deterioration in the US-China relations remains a major source of concern. But at least over the short term, we do expect both sides will prioritize economic recovery and attempt to avoid a serious escalation. And so for all these reasons, we are a little bit more comfortable that the early stages of the reopening process can progress relatively smoothly, and with it, providing upside risks to our currently benign global oil demand expectations.
And where is US shale in all of this, Ehsan? I mean, surely the higher the oil price, the more US shale producers are incentivized to raise production.
Great point, Ona. And this is a real risk that we see. Indeed, higher prices do encourage US shale producers to bring production back online, which could stymie the current recovery in oil prices. And indeed, early signals of a shale resurgence are becoming a little bit apparent with EOG Resources, so which is the US's largest shale-focused producer, planning to accelerate output in the second half of 2020 after shutting in nearly a quarter of its output in May, according to its head of exploration and production. And in addition, shale producer Parsley Energy is also turning wells back on just weeks after shutting in some of the production. So essentially, what we seem to be seeing at the moment is some of the wells that were shut during the depths of the price crash being brought back online into operation. We don't, however, see any new drilling or fracturing taking place whilst oil prices are above cash cost levels of roughly around $25 to $30 per barrel, which does make part of these shale patch operationally efficient and closer to their break-even levels. Prices probably are not high enough, essentially, to make them attractive. But OPEC, of course, is very mindful of this. And as oil prices do rise, so too will the activity outside member countries. And if prices bounce back too quickly, then indeed we could start to see and undermine some of the longer term recovery here in oil prices. So yes, any increase in shale production does raise the stakes for OPEC Plus members and the broader production cut agreement, though we're still a little bit far off in terms of shale being a material problem for the overall supply and demand balance, and with it for oil prices. But it is something that certainly would be top of mind amongst OPEC Plus producers and the broader investor community as we head into the second half of the year.
Right. Thank you for your insight, Ehsan. Have a good week and speak to you next week.
Thanks, Ona. Talk soon.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back next week for more insights from our global markets research team.